This is Paris.
Hey everyone, we are back for another episode of This is Paris. Hunter, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been enjoying some of this colder weather. We've had some rain showers and it's been lovely.
Nice. Well, I've been in all these tropical places, so
yeah, you've got to
miss out on the rain. Yes.
What do you like doing now that you're back home? You've been home for a little bit. What are you and Carter doing as a married couple back in the house?
Well, I had to go directly back to work, so my schedule has been out of control as usual. I still have like literally hundreds of wedding gift presents, like all in the main room when you walk into my house that I haven't even opened yet. So, yeah, we've just been working and I don't know, trying to find some time to open these gifts.
Yeah, mine, I sent you one, but if there's one that's better than the one I sent, they might have mixed up the labels. I think I sent you a car or it was like a deed for a property somewhere, like a really big. It's a good one. I don't know if someone's, maybe the names got mixed up, but don't let Charlotte mess that up, okay? It was really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you watching anything right now?
I watched Joe Millionaire this weekend, which I loved.
Perfect.
I loved that show when it came out. That was like, I don't even know how long ago, a long time ago. And I actually met the guy because it was during The Simple Life and Nicole and I would always be doing different things for Fox and different, you know, award shows. And then he was around. So I met him at a couple of those events. So to see that they brought the show back, I'm just loving it. So nostalgic.
I watched the show too when I was younger. And one thing that I always related to is my dad was always single and he was always nowhere close to millionaire. So like my dad would walk into a Starbucks and like a ripped wife beater and Uggs and still be charming and like the most eligible guy. But watching that show made me feel like I was watching my dad. And I always thought my dad would have like a better chance than the millionaire because my dad's just, I think he's got to compensate. He's got to be like charming and sweet enough to compensate for the fact that, you know, you had to go back to his apartment in Canoga Park if you wanted to spend more time with him. So the one thing I really loved about this reboot that actually our guests today are from the show is that they kind of do put these two guys in the house together, a millionaire and not millionaire. And we get to see how the love explores itself with these women who are hopefully fated for something beautiful, some romantic connection. So I think without further ado, Paris, should we bring him in?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Hey, Paris.
How are you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you.
Pretty cool being on your show, not going to lie.
Aw, thank you. Well, I loved your guys' show. I watched this weekend and it was so entertaining. It was so much fun to watch. How do you guys feel after, you know, it's just aired like last week?
Yeah, it's been an experience so far, but thus far it's been really positive. I mean, everyone seems to, they really love the bromance between Kurt and I, which I love. But yeah, it's been fun.
Is that what you expected to happen? The bromance?
Honestly, going into it, absolutely not. But you know, then going throughout the process, Kurt and I hit it off. We've been hanging out ever since. And so we had a feeling that America would love the fact that Kurt and I actually got along instead of like, you know, we're in a jealous competition. And they have.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a little nerve wracking going in there with another guy. Right. But I don't know. I'm a guy's guy, so I can get along with most men. So it was really nice, though, that we're very similar and our humor is the same. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the season, we're finishing each other's sentences. So it was good.
So there was no drama with you guys? There was no fighting over any of the chicks?
I mean, there was definitely some times where we were both really feeling the same woman. And they wouldn't give us a, you know, kind of an inkling on which guy they were feeling. And so there was a little bit of competition, but it was all friendly.
Do you guys have the same type in women? I know that like me and my brother, luckily,
thankfully we do not. We discussed that literally like within the first 10 minutes. We're like, yeah. All right, what type of prototypical woman do you go for? And I'm like, yeah. I'm a tall blonde guy. And he's like, okay, I like darker brunettes. And we're like, all right,
dark, dark skin, dark hair girl. So.
That's always good. Yeah, it can be a little bit annoying when you're with your best friend or somewhere and then you guys both want the same person.
Have you had that, Paris, where you've been, you know, I think you've had so many like friends in the public eye. I don't know how many of them were good friends, but have you had that with somebody?
Definitely. But, you know, the other person was the one who was always upset. So it didn't really affect me.
Good answer. Strong answer.
I'm just honest.
That's great. So it seems like you guys both, the fact that you still like each other makes me feel like the show went at least well in that way. But
yes,
when you were coming on the show, did you genuinely think, oh, I'm gonna find love? We obviously don't know yet, but like in your heart of hearts, were you like, oh yeah, this is my chance to find love?
No, honestly, going into it, and I know Kurt will say the same thing, like we're not reality TV show guys, especially reality dating shows. I always thought they were fake and, you know, everything was scripted. And so going into it, I thought, you know, this gives me an opportunity to meet women that I'd never be able to meet otherwise. And it's a very unconventional style, but hey, why not give it a shot? And so went into it with very low expectations, didn't expect to feel a whole lot. And then you get put into that environment. You're away from, you know, your friends, your family, you're away from your phone for the most part. And it is like every emotion is intensified, you know, to the 100th degree. So the emotions, it was an emotional roller coaster the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect to find love. I will say that the greatest love story to come out of Joe Millionaire, though, will be Stephen and I's friendship.
That's right.
Yeah. If you want to find more of these types of women, you know, ever, just go to Catch in L.A., basically everybody who wants to be a reality star, you can find there's a few different places in LA. Yeah. But that's great. I like the bromance.
So how did you guys get involved with the show? Like, did someone approach you? Like, how did this happen?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So for me, it was so last minute. I believe they had all the pieces to the puzzle except me. And I think they even had another gentleman. Somebody stumbled upon my Instagram, which I don't even have that many followers, never have, don't really have that big of a presence. I guess they liked my look. They found out what I did professionally. And, you know, so they DM'd me and asked if I'd be interested. So I entertained it and entertained it enough to fly out to LA and meet the producers. And that was literally about 6 weeks before filming.
Wow.
So very last minute. And they I think they realized that my personality would match Stevens. So they kind of sealed the deal right there.
Yeah.
Did they, so they flew you out?
Yeah.
Both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Did they fly you in coach or did they put one of you in first class?
I don't know about you, Kurt, but I was in middle seat in the back of the plane.
Yeah. I was just in regular coach and I got in trouble for sleeping with my mask under my nose too. I almost got escorted off the plane.
Bad boy.
But Steven, they had him selected for quite a while.
Yeah, they found me in, it had been last January on Instagram. And, you know, they reached out to me and it was in my DM request from someone I never knew or never met before. And I honestly thought it was a joke. We set up a couple Zoom interviews, started going through the casting company, Cornwell Casting, moved through to 495 Productions, and then all the way up to Fox, the executive team. And I was like, this actually sounds pretty legit. And so for me, and I know Kurt especially, we both run day-to-day companies and we're both CEOs. So taking off for 7 weeks for a reality TV show is not an easy feat for either of us. And so we made a deal with Fox that we're like, we got to have our phones for 2 hours every morning just to make sure that, you know, our businesses are not burning to the ground while we're gone.
Yeah.
You're lucky. When I did The Simple Life, they really took our phones away and it was like, just like not having your phone is so brutal. I was just Ms. Yes.
Yeah.
So you were lucky. At least you got the 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, we are. I don't know. Like, you know, everyone looks at reality TV show people and sees how emotional or crazy they get. And until you're in that environment where you don't have your phone, you don't have access to talking to your family and friends every day, you don't know what that feels like because it is crazy. I mean, you know, we got our phones for 2 hours every day. And thankfully, that's what kind of kept me sane. These poor women, the women didn't get their phones at all. And so, you know, Kurt and I completely understand why they were on edge a little bit and freaking out on some things.
Yeah, but I think it's also good because if everyone did have their phones, it wouldn't be the same type of story. So I think it is smart when these shows do that, because otherwise they're texting their friends, they're just like on social media, and then they're not really in it. And then when you don't have the phone, that's when like the real emotions come out. And that one scene when you guys were doing the cotillion dance and the girl was crying, the one who was wearing the same dress as the other one, like how did that feel? I was like, oh my God, he's there. Like he's actually like, she's crying in front of him. Like how awkward did you feel in that moment?
It was, that whole dance was awkward. Okay. This is only a couple nights in. I'm still finding my footing in this whole setup. I'm kind of like, I get nervous in front of beautiful women so much. So I'm always stumbling over myself. So all these women come in and I have to host them. I'm sitting at the head of the table and I've got to host them and I don't have my boy Steven here. So Steven's the good talker, right? So I'm sitting here by myself trying to host these women. It's a little bit awkward at times. They cut out one part. I called one woman the wrong name. I mean, I only known them for a few days. So that had me flustered. So the whole day was awkward. We get dancing and then we start loosening up a little bit. And that's when you start to see the spiral of Rachel. Which was so comical the way they caught that on camera. And I guess that thumb suck really set her off.
It was licking the frosting off her finger that just made things take a nosedive.
That was the catapult for her. Yep. But it was really awkward. And then you know how it is, Paris. So you get pulled away so much by producers and they want to get interviews and stuff. So I kept getting pulled away and I'd come back to a different show every time. I'm like, what is happening? Like, what did I do to these women? Or what are these women doing to each other? And so it was so confusing. When you saw me just kind of leaning back, trying to figure out what was going on, that was genuine. I was literally just trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And then I didn't know whether I should interject. I think I started to at one point. One of the producers was like, no. Get back. Like, we need this.
Save yourself. Keep out of this.
So, you know, I don't know, looking back, should I have interjected? Would I have caused more mayhem? I don't know. But yeah, it was something.
It was amazing. It was TV. So I feel bad for her because I can't imagine waking up the next morning and being like, oh my God, what did I do? Or even just watching it when it premiered the other night. So sending love to you, girl.
Did you have something like that? Did you have any moments like that, Paris, in any of the reality TV you've done you literally regretted it right away? What was it?
Not me really regretting things, just so many crazy moments, especially, you know, during the beginning of The Simple Life, because that was just, it was like one of the first reality shows and it was just so new to me and we'd never been on camera before. We're in a completely different environment and just, I don't know. It was just a lot of things that happened with Nicole and I don't even know if I want to say them right now.
You were good. Like did you ever play a persona? Cause I feel like you played this very ditzy cause you're not so much. I've studied you. You played this like ditzy kind of role for a while, but that was just kind of what you needed to do. Right. I mean, that was.
Yeah. I'm not a dumb blonde. I'm just very good at pretending to be one. And for that, I was, you know, giving with the public what I thought that they wanted, That was just like the whole vibe. Like before I went there, I've obviously, you know, I don't know if you saw my documentary, but I went through a lot of things. And I think that was kind of just like a mask that I built almost just from a trauma response, if I want to go deep into it. But also I knew that, you know, it's reality television. I wanted to be entertaining and it wouldn't have been funny if I was actually just being serious and not being silly.
I remember The Simple Life. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
This is Paris.
Did you guys watch the original Joe Millionaire? Like, again, like before the show, did you watch it originally?
No, I didn't even know what Joe Millionaire was going into it. So neither, I mean, Kurt knew a little bit, he knew the name, but you know, we get down there on set the first day and we're in the middle of interviews, separate interviews, and the producers all walk into the interview room and they're like, so we just wanted to let you know, this is a big moment. We've got a bombshell to drop on you. You know, you are the next Joe Millionaire. And for me, I was like, great. What does that mean? I have no idea. I've never even heard of it.
You're just like, I gotta change my name to Joe.
I was like, what? And, you know, I could tell the gravity of the moment and the way they were acting. I could see all the cameras on me. I was like, yeah, they're trying to make a big deal out of this, but I don't know what to, I don't know how to react. I don't know what this is. And then they explain it to me and they explain, you know, what kind of numbers it did and just how big of a phenomenon it was. And you start to realize, you know, just what you got yourself into. And it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with me. They bust in an interview room and like, hey, got something big to tell you. And they go proceed to tell me. I look at them. I was like, that is great for you guys. That's awesome. And they say, no, it's good for you too. This is a big deal. So I was just happy for the producers. I was just happy for the whole show in general. Cause you know, that's a good name to carry on. So yeah, I was just excited because we didn't know, they hardly told us what we were getting ourselves into. They gave us enough to get us there. But we really took a leap of faith with the production company, 495. Yeah. Just they are what sold it to Stephen and I both. I mean, without them, without Sally Ann and Sarah, you know, I probably wouldn't have been there. So
no,
I just love that they tell you, hey, you're the new star of our franchise, and you go, you're welcome.
Hey, yeah. Congrats, this is good for you guys. Buddy. Great selection.
The twist is pretty good in this season, though. But I feel like, you know, if I had to hang out with someone for days and weeks, that something would slip out. Did nothing come out? Like, Kurt, at any point were you like, yeah, I was driving in my Ford Ferrari.
Yeah, it was definitely harder for Steven. I mean, you know, I live a pretty modest life. I live a good life here, though. You know, I'm not, it's funny, they try to sell me as like poor in the show. I said, you can sell me whatever way you want. But, you know, I've been in the construction industry for some time now. I was a site superintendent for years, in like a well-paid one. But definitely a very, very hardworking industry. And then I branched out on my own. I started my own company, right around 2 years ago now. And things have been good for me, but it still is a grind. So I'm very busy. I definitely still live a more modest life, but, it was definitely harder for Steven because, it just is second nature to talk about certain things, businesses especially. I mean, and they have multiple of them.
Yeah, for me, it was a little more difficult. You know, the first couple of weeks, it was almost fun for me because I felt like I was playing a joke on these women. Like, I literally feel like they think that I work out in a field every single day wearing a pair of blue coveralls with a pitchfork in my hand, you know, like a simple farm boy. And so it was fun to kind of play that facade for about 2 weeks. And then they'd start asking deeper and deeper questions about my history, my family. And I started running out of stuff to say because, you know, you put on this so simple lifestyle and then all of a sudden, you know, they're asking you these very in-depth questions. And I'm like, I don't know how to answer this. And so, you know, they'd ask me about my education. I'd tell them I had a college degree and they're like, wait, you're a farmer, but you have a college degree and an MBA. And so, you know, they start asking those questions and it just makes it really, really difficult. And, you know, the hardest part was for me, I don't necessarily equate like the businesses or the material aspects of things, you know, as a, you know, financial flex or anything. I equate it more to the character traits that it took to get there. And so, you know, I want the women to know that, you know, I'm a hardworking guy, you know, very loyal, very determined. I push through, persevere. And I tell the story of my companies to showcase that. And so I was having to take all that off the table.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a struggle for him. We talked about it several times on the show. I hope they show some of it because I felt he was, you know, he was almost like a leg down. It's like, dude, you're coming off as this, you know, simple life farm boy. Right. And, you know, some of these women don't want a simple farm boy.
No, <you know>? No,
they want a man with a little bit of ambition, a little bit of drive. Right. So yeah, it was, we did have to pivot about mid-season and we're like, dude, you got to start talking a little about, you know, some other stuff. So it was a delicate balance for sure.
Would that be a turnoff to you when you could tell a girl was asking questions that, you know, had like gold digger mentality motives?
You know, I mean, for the most part, I feel like we had a really, really good group of women that were in front of us, you know, and they were, I feel like they were all there most, for the most part, they were there for the right reasons, but there were certainly some questions where they were trying to figure out who was who. And, you know, there wasn't anything over the top, thankfully, because if it was over the top, that definitely would have been an alarm to Kurt and I, because Kurt and I basically feel like we're the same people. We both see ourselves as blue collar boys. We both work with our hands every single day. You know, we're just in a little different positions as far as, you know, financial status or material aspect wise. But in 5 years, I don't think there's going to be any difference between us. And so, you know, Kurt and I didn't view you know, each other any differently. And so we didn't want the women to view us any differently either.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, what matters to most of these women was, as I said before, like the ambition and drive. I mean, everybody wants a man or a woman who wants to get out there and accomplish something, right? He wants to build something. Nobody wants to be with a lazy person. So I think that, you know, they could tell that was there between both of us. And there were a lot of questions, honestly. Yeah. Some of them I didn't even hear, like that, that part in the show when they were just rapid fire questions, it was that and worse. I mean, I was sweating. The reason why I took my hair down is I was like, I just got to stop talking. All right, boom, hair down.
The funniest part, they were asking so many questions, you don't even have time to think through the questions. And one of the girls asked Kurt if he's ever been to South America. And he's like, oh yeah, I've been to South America. This dude has literally never been there before.
I know, like where? You're like,
But you're trying to keep up with the questions. Yeah, trying to keep up with all the questions, and you're running behind so far. You feel like bait to a bunch of sharks whenever you're out there some of the days.
Yeah.
What was the craziest thing that happened? Like, we were like, oh my God. You don't have to say who, because we know it's a surprise.
They both just had a very clear moment come to their brain.
I don't know what Steven's gonna say, but to me, one of the funniest things that happened, and it looks like they probably cut it from the show already because it happened with Raquel. It became this joke between everybody on set there. When Raquel got eliminated, she kicked her suitcase off the top of the stairs and it like bounced all the way down.
Yep.
So then that became the girls' kind of like ritual anytime.
Yeah, like the rose ceremony.
They'd boot the staircase off the top of the stairs and it would bounce down, which I just got a kick out of. I thought it was hilarious and it was fun that the girls, you know, could at least have a little bit of fun out the door.
Yeah, I'm sure the house was really happy about that.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a few dents in the walls, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That was probably the funniest thing. It became the ritual, the elimination ritual. They're like, do it for Raquel, and they punt their suitcase off the stairs. So that was pretty funny. I think episode 3 or episode 4, there's going to be a very, very interesting night come up with both Kurt and I, where we may or may not have had a severe emotional breakdown and end up all the women are together and Kurt and I are nowhere to be found. And that's because we're hiding in a bathroom.
Yeah. I just needed my boy. I was a little stressed out.
That's sweet. That's good. You guys had each other. Before the show, did you genuinely have any trouble just because of your guys' career? Maybe someone wanted more than you had, or maybe someone, you know, didn't expect it to be what it is. Did you have any issues dating because of financial stuff before the show? And Paris, this is for you too. Have you had to deal with, I mean, I'm sure, but like, how does it manifest itself when someone's in it for the wrong reasons?
For me, it's pretty obvious. I can always tell with someone. But I have a lot more to offer than just that. So again, I'm not worried about that, but it is kind of a turnoff. Cause when you do think about it, like usually you would think like the girl is a gold digger, but I found in life that there's male gold diggers as well. And they're beyond. Yeah. And I just hate like lazy guys who just, you know, they just don't have any drive and they don't want to do anything with their lives. They don't want to work hard, because ever since I was a little girl, like my parents really taught me the importance of hard work ethic and to want to do something on your own. It just feels so amazing, especially, you know, when you come from a privileged family and just to be handed things, it doesn't feel as good as doing it on your own. And then, I don't know, I think there's people out there that they're lazy and they just want to latch on to either a man or a woman who can take care of them. And I just think that's really unattractive.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. I mean, for me, and I mean this in the most humble way possible, not arrogantly at all. In Kansas City, obviously I have multiple companies. A lot of them carry my last name. And so my reputation precedes me a little bit. And so that's always a concern of mine, is especially if I'm dating in the Kansas City area, is, are they there for me? Are they there for who I am as a person? Or are they there based on my reputation of the companies that I have, companies that I run, and you know, what I have from a material aspect? So that has always been in the back of my mind for, you know, trying to get that initial judgment out of someone, especially in the Kansas City area.
Yeah. For me, and congratulations on the marriage.
Thank you.
Paris. So for me, you know, honestly, this past year leading up to the show, that was us on a hard stop from dating altogether. You know, I was really, I didn't even tell anybody I started my own company. People knew I was still in construction, but I didn't tell anyone because I was afraid to fail. And with that, I just dedicated really past like 2 years of my life. I just grinded and I've just been grinding and just trying to, you know, really propel myself. So dating has been on the back burner for me leading up to this, especially the past year. And then before that, no, I think women have always liked me for me. So I don't think I've really had to worry about the monetary thing. And maybe because, you know, I never really had a ton of money. Like I said, I was a site superintendent in construction. So they knew what they were getting entering into it. So
have you had any exes reach out to either of you since the show's aired?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple exes and some old friends reach out and they're like, whoa, this is crazy. Did not expect to see this.
No comment.
Yeah. The no comment says it all.
Yeah. This is Paris. This is 7 Slitting Questions.
Okay, here we go. Who's your first celebrity crush and your current celebrity crush?
Ooh, childhood crush for me, Angelina Jolie. And right now, my celebrity crush is Ana de Armas.
Oh. Yeah,
for me.
Who?
Yeah.
Ana de Armas, Ben's ex, Ben Affleck's ex.
Oh.
Good one. Oh my God. Yeah, for me, for me growing up, I'd say Margot Robbie. And then now, I've always got a thing, and I've still have a thing for Scarlett Johansson, for sure.
Nice.
Maybe they're watching this. Maybe, I mean, Anna's... Anna might both married. Anna married now?
No, I thought you were saying a Margot and...
Oh, yeah, Margot and... Yeah. But you guys still have a chance with Anna and Armas, maybe. So, good luck with that. I'm really hoping for you,
Ben. Okay. Your first kiss. You have 1 minute to tell us everything.
You guys are going to share that minute, so make it.
Okay, all right. So I'll go first. Mine was at a place called Worlds of Fun. It's like a Six Flags here in Kansas City. During Halloween weekends, they have Halloween haunts. So I was walking through one of the haunted houses with the girl that I was talking to at the time. This was back in fifth grade. And we were walking through like this smoky room full of mirrors. And we were getting all turned around and we kind of liked each other. Like we were kind of holding hands. You know, I just went for it. Probably screwed it up horribly. I think I missed. But yeah.
Yes.
And kissing one of the fun mirrors in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is bad. I can't remember my first kiss. I can't. It had to have been early. I was a little flirt as a young boy. But I want to say, I can't remember. I want to say it was like elementary school.
How do you not remember your first kiss? What?
That's bad, right? Yes. Some poor girl is going to be very upset to hear this.
There's some girl out there who has built her whole life around the best moment she ever had with Kurt Sowers in the third grade. And it was like, when she tells the story, she says, it's something him and I will never forget.
Yeah, and she's probably been talking about it a lot this week. And now she's going to.
Especially this week. Yeah. Kurt could meet the girl and like could see the yearbook and look at her and he still would be like, I'm so, it just doesn't ring a bell.
Not ringing a bell. Not coming back to me. I'm sorry, mystery woman. I'm so sorry.
You could reach out to him on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, well then Kurt, who was your last kiss with?
Oh, that might give the show away.
Yeah. I want to know some details. Spoiler the thing. Mm-hmm.
See what you did there, Hunter.
Yep.
It's one of the exes that reached out to him after the show.
Oh, good.
Don't
get me in trouble.
Oh, my God. What is the craziest rumor that you've ever heard about yourself?
I live in a small town now. I run a big farming and ranching operation, right? So, you know, small towns, people are going to talk. And apparently my farming operation is just a cover up for this giant drug kingpin, you know, that I'm running up here. So I'm just smuggling drugs from Mexico and distributing them all around the Midwest. And that's how I've made all my money, apparently.
Well, wow. I'm sure it's just like a hater from another farm who's jealous.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or is he bringing it up right now to make it seem like it's fake? But we all know that
that's right.
Chapo, pretty close.
That's exactly right.
Paris, I feel like I'm going to be really bad at this game. I don't know. So I've had plenty of bad rumors. There's actually a whole in college. There's a whole page dedicated to me. Remember that college ACB website? It was like a shit talking website. So there was a whole page dedicated to me, and they called me Kurt the Hurt Powers. And it was like another fraternity went and wrote all this stuff, and they had pages of stuff about me. And honestly, some of them were freaking hilarious. People were pretty funny when they try to rip on you. Just saying stuff like Chuck Norris, you know, looks under his bed when he goes to bed, so to not be scared of Kurt the Hurt Powers. You know, all sorts of stuff is with girls and, you know, drugs, STDs. That it was a pretty nasty like page. So I've had plenty of trash talked about me in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's the best one. I don't really know, but there's been a lot. So I'm ready for what's coming.
Yeah, get ready.
Yeah, regardless, look who gets to pretend to be a millionaire on television now. Those idiots really lost out.
Kurt the Hurt Sours.
Well, I think we have time for one more sliving question. Paris,
okay. All right. What's the craziest thing that you've done lately? Besides, of course, being on a reality show, but what is the craziest thing that you've done on the show or after or in your life?
I'm loco. Craziest thing did lately.
It's got to be the underground party at Tulum.
Ooh, I love Tulum.
That was a pretty good one. The jungle party was, that was pretty, pretty fun.
Did you just go recently?
This was, let me think now. A little over a year ago. So yeah.
In January of last year.
Yep.
So sick. Yeah. January is the best time to go there during BPM.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's when, yeah. So lit. The best party. So my buddy actually lives down there. He's like building some townhomes down there. So he's kind of got all the plugs, and he sends me this text invite. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I'm like, all right, respond. They say, all right, go to this little hat shop. So me and two of my buddies go to this hat shop. They check you in. I don't speak Spanish. I can understand it. I don't really speak Spanish. So they check you in, and then you're just like sitting in here, you know, with the music and everything. And then they usher you out one by one. And Paris, you probably already know, they usher you one by one to these Mercedes Sprinter vans. And then you go, or we went 45 minutes into the jungle, pull up with armed guards with AK-47s. Into this hotel in the jungle. And this is the best part, which we didn't know. The shuttles don't come back till 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So you're there and you're stuck there. And you walk through the gate. And honestly, it was so freaking cool. I mean, sensory overload. It was amazing. The music, the lights. It's literally the canopy from the jungle. The lights are just projecting up there. There's smoke on the ground. I met some of the most interesting people I've ever met in my entire life. Some really cool Europeans, a lot of people from Mexico City, I guess, go there. It was the wildest experience. We had a joke that's what the, you know, the song Hotel California was in reference to. Like, you can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. That's what we felt.
Epic. Like
we weren't leaving. We were stuck there. Part of me might still be there. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. For me, I would say about a month before the show, and I think this may have been what sold, you know, the producers and Fox for using me, was we were finishing up planning season around the farm, and, you know, I'm a helicopter pilot. I have a helicopter. And so I was like, we need to celebrate this. We need to kick this off in style. And so my brother was out finishing the very last field of the year. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab a couple friends from the city. We're going to get like a 15-foot beer bong, and I'm going to call them and say, go stand out on your tractor. And so I literally fly over and with the helicopter, I've got my friend in the backseat. She drops the beer bong down to him, and he chugs it on top of the helicopter, and the video went viral. So sick. I think that's I think that's what sold me on the show.
That counts as a good answer, and we appreciate everything that you guys are doing right now. The show is so fun. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for having me. This is surreal. I mean, growing up, like watching you, Paris, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's humbling for sure.
No, and I really like loved watching you both. You guys seem so kind and real and down to earth and genuine and like really good men. So I just want to say that I really enjoyed that, because on a lot of these reality shows, they have these like really cheeseball guys that are just like so cringe. And yeah, you guys are very nice guys. So I just want to wish you the best in finding love. And I can't wait to watch all the episodes. The show is sick.
Thank you so much, Paris. That means a lot. We appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you at 5:30 a.m. at the Jungle Hotel for our conversation.
Thanks for listening to This is Paris. We love hearing from you. So leave us a review. Send an email to paris@iheartradio.com. Leave a voicemail at 833-87-PARIS. And follow us at This is Paris Podcast. Bye, babes.
Follow Paris at Paris Hilton and follow Hunter March, host of E's Nightly Pop at Hunter March.